same-sex marriage is an important step forward, and it will make our society stronger. So said the Conservative leader and the Prime Minister of our nation, David Cameron. He is accompanied by others in his assessment. They appealed the Commons' victory of 225 votes to 136 for gay marriage as a step towards equality, fairness, and conducive to a modern, progressive, civilized society. But all such comments and assessments fly in the face of biblical teaching and indeed in the face of the warnings of God's precious word. The situation tonight that our nation finds itself in is nothing new. The Bible records times and societies in the past that have dabbled in, condoned, and promoted this sinful and unscriptural lifestyle. We have read here tonight the account of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the cities of the plain. They too thought like David Cameron and the political leaders of our nation. They thought that the promotion of this lifestyle would be one that would lead to equality and fairness, and one that would characterize a progressive society. But the Word of God points to Sodom in a completely different way and a completely different light. If you turn over to the little epistle of Jude, just before the book of Revelation at the end of the New Testament, Revelation, and then prior to that, the book of Jude, in the chapter of Jude's epistle, verse number 7, you will find here, almost at the end of the scriptural revelation, references made to Sodom and Gomorrah. And you will discover that the reference does not hold up Sodom as a society promoting equality, a society that is progressive, a society that is increasing in its civilization. But instead, the Word of God describes Sodom as an example of divine vengeance. Verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. God says in His Word that Sodom is an example to all nations and all societies and all generations, an example of that which rejects God's way and God's truth and God's law. It is an example of the vengeance of eternal fire. And so I want to take the comments in the background of these comments of our political leaders, and I want to contrast what God says in His Word in light of what they have said in recent days. God says that Sodom is not an example of progressiveness or equality or fairness or civilization. It is an example of the vengeance of eternal fire. Sodom is an example. First of all, it's an example of the consequences of sin. Sodomy is sin. Sin is the transgression of God's law. It is doing what is contrary to what God has said in His law. And God's law states that such a union as is being proposed and promoted and advanced in our society, such a union is a breach of His created order for mankind. You look at this verse in the Epistle of Jude. They went after strange flesh. And the term strange there has to do with the idea of that which was not intended. That which was not designed or purposed by God when He created man. Now if you turn to Leviticus 18, we looked at this on Monday night, and I don't want to cover the ground that I covered then, but I do want to emphasize this. This is God's word. This is God's word on the matter, and it settles it. We're not interested in the opinions of men. We're interested in God's verdict. Leviticus 18 verse 22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Sodomy is sin. It is the violation of God's law. It is a departure from the created order that God has established. And that is confirmed in Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 1. And verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, man with man, working that which is unseemly. This is against God. It's against God's law. It's against the intended order. And as such, as a transgression of God's law, the sin that was committed in the region of Sodom and Gomorrah received the vengeance of eternal fire. The word Sodom means burnt or burned. The very term suggests and relates to the vengeance of God that was poured out upon those cities. The fire that fell was the fire of hell, eternal fire. God put His hand into hell and He lifted the fire of hell and cast it upon the cities of the plain. We read tonight in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 24 that the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. God sent that fire that consumed all the cities, turned them all to ice. God sent the fire because of their sin. Genesis 18 and verse 20. The Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. Their sin is very grievous. You turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 29. This is very important tonight, because people are saying that this will lead to equality. There will be no adverse consequence. The Bible doesn't say that. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 23. And that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown nor beareth, nor any grass groweth wherein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in His anger and in His wrath. As the sin of Sodom was escalating in its wickedness, it was provoking the wrath and the anger of God in heaven. And the time came when God withdrew his long suffering and his patience, and God visited their sin with the vengeance of eternal fire. And the Lord tonight says, Sodom is an example. Sodom is an example. Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. Peter says, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Sodom tonight and that region around the area of the Salt Sea, the Dead Sea, that region tonight stands as a perpetual testimony that there is a holy God who must and will punish sin. And if sin is not repented of, it will receive the vengeance of eternal fire. There will be a most severe and terrible, dreadful consequence for this sin that is being proposed and has been voted upon in Parliament. There will be terrible reaping. Sodom is an example of the consequence of sin. But it's also an example of the corruption of society. The city of Sodom is an example of what happens and what will happen to a society that opens its doors to the violation and the transgression of God's law. That's why God has given so much detail concerning Sodom in the Bible. Stands as a warning. And God is saying, look at Sodom. This is what happens when people throw open the floodgates for sin. What happens in society? Corruption spreads. Corruption increases. Corruption escalates. Sin becomes the norm. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 3, and I want just to look at a few quotes tonight, a few references to Sodom that are scattered here and there in the Scriptures. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord here is comparing Jerusalem in Isaiah's day with Sodom. Verse 8, for Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance, the show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. And that's not only a reference to Jerusalem and Judah in the day of Isaiah. That is an insight to what society was like in Sodom hundreds of years previously. Do you see the picture here? This sin is promoted. This sin is publicized. There's no shame. They hide it not. And that's the first step that we begin to see when sin is promoted. It comes to a place where there's no shame. There's no hiding of it. And I ask you tonight, is that not the situation that we're in our land, when we can have so-called gay pride parades, where such sin is paraded in public without shame? They hide it not. They declare their sin. It's gloried in. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 23. And in the verse 14, we discover another characteristic of the society of Sodom. Sin was not only gloried in, something that they were unashamed of, but it was something that was unrestrained. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 14. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. They strengthen the hands of evildoers. In other words, the hands of evildoers become stronger, the restraints are lifted, and society becomes unsafe. And that's why I emphasize tonight in the Bible reading, when these angels visited Sodom, they were prepared to stay in the street, and Lot said, no, you can't stay in the street. He urges them, he presses upon them with a sense of great urgency. And he says, come inside, come into my house. And when they come in, he closes the door fast. He shuts the door. Why? Because the society of Sodom that had opened its doors to the violation of God's law had become an increasingly unsafe society. So much so that they could not go out at night. Verse 5, when the men of Sodom had heard about these two visitors coming into Lot, they gathered at Lot's door. They called on them. They said, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after them. Why does the Bible say that? He had to shut the door because he knew the kind of these men, their aggressiveness. And he knew that they would force their way in. He knew he wasn't safe even in his own house. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. You see, when sin is promoted and advanced, especially this kind of sin, it casts away all restraints, and society becomes an unsafe place. I remember when I was in college 20 years ago, and I went out to Australia, the whole thing was big news out there in Tasmania. There was a whole uproar against the anti-sodomite laws. And the protests were being held, and the protesters were bringing syringes against the police that had blood infected with AIDS as a threat. When sin is promoted, it brings about a situation in society where the restraints are lifted and the hands of evildoers are strengthened. But it's interesting. If you turn to Ezekiel 16, the hands of evildoers become strengthened, but the hands of the weak and the poor are weakened further. There is a polarization in society. The extremes begin to emerge. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse number 57. Again, the reference is to the society of Sodom. Verse 49 it is rather. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. Do you see what's happening when sin is promoted? There's a strengthening of the hands of evildoers, and the restraints are lifted. But then the vulnerable in society are preyed upon. On one hand, there's abundance of bread and idleness. But the poor and needy are neglected. And do we not see the shouts today for sodomy to be sustained, subsidized, money from government in order to promote this lifestyle? And that money goes on the promotion of this lifestyle, and the poor and the needy are weakened further. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. But when sin is promoted, corruption spreads in society. Sin becomes something that there's no shame towards. Sin lifts the restraints and strengthens the hands of evildoers. It weakens the hands of the poor and needy. But turn to Genesis 19 again and you'll find that sin influences all ages. I emphasized this point on Monday night, verse 4, when the men, the angels, came into Lot's house. Before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, old and young. And this is not about simply people of a homosexual orientation having equality. This is about influencing the rising generation. That's what follows on. This lifestyle must be promoted as right, as acceptable. And it will always have an influence on the young. Will always have an influence on the young. And when these restraints are lifted, brings about a situation where young people wish to experiment. And that's what happened in Sodom. The old and the young are corrupted by this evil, by this wickedness. And then you'll discover there was an intolerance of any kind of moral judgment. For Lot stands up to these men, and he says to them in verse 7, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Do not so wickedly. And the men said in verse 9, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. He will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the lot, even the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. And Lot is saying to them now, do not do this wicked thing. What's he doing? He's passing a moral judgment on their desires and their actions. And they rise up to him and they say, Lot, who do you think you are? You have come in to sojourn with us, and do you think that you're going to be a judge and tell us what is right and what is wrong? There is an intolerance of moral judgment. In other words, nobody is allowed to say what is right and what is wrong. The line of demarcation becomes blurred. And the sad thing is, Lot was affected by it. For he says in verse 8, behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. On one hand he's saying this is wicked, and then he's saying, you do what's good in your eyes, what you think is right. See what's happened? The line of moral judgment has become blurred and there's an intolerance of it. That's what we're seeing in our society. Sodom is an example of the corruption of society. But the most concerning factor is that when sin like this is promoted, all these characteristics emerge, but the worst characteristic is that such a society becomes void of all gospel influence. Look at verse 25. The Lord overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities. The only people that were spared were Lot and his two daughters. There was only one righteous man in Sodom. And he wasn't a native. Lot came in as a visitor. In the previous chapter, Abraham had pleaded with God to spare the city for the sake of 10 righteous. And God said he would spare the city if he found 10 righteous in the city. There wasn't even 10 righteous men in Sodom or in all the cities of the plain. There was only one righteous man, and he was not a native of Sodom. And that means that not one person born, brought up in Sodom had been converted by the power of the gospel, of the grace of God. They were all consumed. Turn again to Jeremiah 23. Did you notice this when we read it a little earlier? Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 14. In the middle of the verse, they strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. In other words, repentance. Repentance is absent. There's no returning from wickedness. There's no repentance of wickedness. That's what it was like in Sodom. They had descended to such a place that they promoted sin. They were unashamed of it. All the restraints were lifted. The hands of evildoers strengthened. The hands of the poor and needy were weakened. Polarization in the community. Both old and young were affected by this. Moral judgment is not tolerated in any shape or form. And the city becomes a place that is absolutely void of gospel power and gospel influence. That's what happens when sin is legalized and promoted. It will increase. It will influence all ages. And it will be intolerant of any biblical witness whatsoever. Sodom is an example of the consequence of sin, and it is an example of how a society can be corrupted utterly, totally. And that's why we need to pray like never before, that God would intervene and have mercy. But there's one final way in which Sodom is an example. It's an example of the conditioning of saints. Lot is described by Peter in his second epistle as a righteous man. And Peter says in that epistle that Lot vexed his soul, his righteous soul, every day with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Lot was the only righteous man in Sodom. But his record and his testimony is of great regret For he was a man who had become influenced and conditioned by the society in which he lived. You see the extent of it in chapter 19 of Genesis in verse 7. He knows that what they're suggesting is wrong. Bring out these men that we may know them. This is an unclean thing they're talking about. And Lot says, I pray you do not so wickedly. But in verse 7, he refers to them as brethren. I pray you, brethren. What? A righteous man who knows that their practice is wicked and evil in the sight of God, and yet he identifies them as brethren. And he would go even as far as to give his own daughters to their vile lusts. Here's my two daughters, they've not known a man. Take them and do whatever seems good in your eyes. But don't touch these men. Lot is an example of how saints can become conditioned by the society in which they live. Verse 14 shows how he lost influence in his family. Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. There's no credibility here in what he's saying. But perhaps the worst thing is in verse 16. When these two angels have to take them by their hand and pull them out of the city. Verse 16, while he lingered. While he lingered. There he is, hanging on, as it were. It's the picture of a man, a saint, who has become conditioned by the corruption that's all around him. How did he arrive at that place? You have to go back to chapter 13 of Genesis to find the answer to that. He arrived in that place when he left the company of a godly man, and he left the company of the church, the visible church at that time. Genesis 13 tells us of that point when Lot separated from his uncle Abraham. Verse 10 says, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest on to Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. He's separating from the company of a godly man. But the choice that he made was a wrong choice. His choice was based upon sight, what he could see. He saw the well-watered plain. But he didn't inquire as to the nature of the people that were there. Verse 13 of that chapter says, But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. He's traveling in that direction. And then if you go to chapter 14 and verse 12 of Genesis, we read there, by this time, Lot has packed up his tent and he's bought a house in Sodom. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods and departed. You see how he started out just traveling in the directions. He's on the peripheries, on the parameters, as it were. But in the course of time, he gets tired of the wind coming through the sides of the tent, and he begins to think, you know, we would be more secure with a walled house in Sodom. How wrong he was, because this 14th chapter describes the great rebellion and how the kings of the east came and they invaded the city and they took Lot and all the people there in their possessions. And Abraham had to send his armed servants in order to rescue Lot. He was not safe. He pitches his tent and then he buys a house. And then when you come to chapter 19, you see the downward progression. Chapter 19 and verse 1, the two angels came to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. That means the gate has to do with the place of commerce, the place of affairs, the place of government. And there he is, right in the midst. Verse 2 talks about his house. He says, come into your servant's house and come into my house. See what's happening? Step by step, not all at once, not overnight, but step by step, his godly convictions were being weakened down. He was becoming conditionalized to the society. It's not that he was accepting the sin of Sodom. No, he recognized it as wickedness. But what was happening here was that his opposition and his resistance to it was being eroded. And we find here that when he and his daughters and his wife were brought out, that his wife looked back from behind them. She looked back. Because even though she had been brought out, her heart was still in Sodom. Do you see the conditioning? Step by step. And that's our danger tonight as believers. Our danger is, as we witness our society going down this path to greater sin, our danger is that we become conditioned by the society we're living in. So that bit by bit, our opposition, our resistance, our repugnance towards evil becomes lesser and lesser. It's an example. God says this is an example of the consequence of sin, an example of the corruption of society, an example of the conditioning of sins. But let me turn you to that passage that I opened to this afternoon. In Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse number 10. And I want to close tonight by saying that there is a sin worse than the sin of Sodom. The Lord is sending out his disciples around the villages and towns of Galilee. And he says to them in verse 10, in what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. A sin worse than the sin of Sodom is the sin of rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many a person tonight, their spirit is repelled by the thought of sodomy. And they would readily stand side by side with Christians and oppose the introduction of this legislation. But if they are rejecting the gospel message that Jesus Christ has commanded to be preached in all the world, if they are rejecting the message of the gospel, they are committing a sin that is worse than the sin of sodomy. And God says, in the day of judgment, it will be more tolerable. Sodom will still receive judgment, but it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for that people, that city, that has heard the word of God and the message of the gospel and rejected the message. It's a solemn obligation tonight, a solemn responsibility that presses upon us when we hear the gospel. We must see what's happening. We must be aware of what's happening. We must pray as Christians that God will stem the tide of iniquity, restrain evil, and elevate righteousness again in our land. And the only way it will be done is by the gospel, by the word of God, by the preaching of God's truth. May God have mercy upon us. May the Lord send again His gracious Spirit to turn this evil and elevate righteousness in the land once again.